There are two types of mics that most podcasters use, a dynamic mic or a condenser mic. For most people, they're going to want to use a dynamic mic. And it's called dynamic because of the way it's designed.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the Podcast on Podcasting. It's your host, AAA. That's Adam A. Adams. And I've got Michael Castaneda on the podcast today. He's an audio engineer. He went to school at a couple of different universities, Citrus Community College, as well as UCSD. And yeah, he's an audio engineer. He did that for like 5.5 years, worked a couple of really cool companies. For example, he worked with NPR, he worked with ESPN, New York Times Magazine, and the BBC, which is kind of cool. He's had a lot of experience. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about through audio engineering, we're going to talk about different microphones. We're going to talk about recording to the cloud. We're going to be talking about Zoom, recording on Zoom. Pros and cons. We're just going to get in and to have some of the experience. And one of the cool things that you're going to get is he's using two different microphones today. He's using a professional mic where he's recording directly into his computer. And then he's going to send that file to me after the fact. And we begin the episode today with him clapping a couple of times. And he'll tell you why he needs to clap here in a little bit. It's not this kind of clapping. It's a different kind of clapping all together. So anyway, here we go. Michael Castaneda, how are you today, sir?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Good. And so in the beginning, what we're going to use is we're going to use the lower of the two qualities. In the beginning, we're going to use what comes directly to Zoom, because I record on Zoom, even though lots of audio engineers like Michael hate me because I do that. And they're like, what the hell are you thinking? You're so stupid. You don't know anything about audio engineering. It's compressing your sound too much. You sound bad. I am always going to do it. And we're going to get into that. It's going to be exciting. He's also got a couple of things that he wants to share with you as well today on, you know, just starting, just getting your podcast launched. We might even argue about that or have an adult disagreement. I don't know what it's called, but we'll argue a little bit about that for you, where we'll show you both sides. And so in the beginning, a few minutes here, I'm going to stop and I'm going to direct the person who's doing the post-production, and you're going to hear me doing the direction, but we're going to have Michael using the lower of the two qualities, which is actually his headphones, where there's this little mic in the headphones. So you'll hear what that sounds like. And then I'll direct the person who's going to do our post-production to be able to switch it so you can hear the other mic. And we'll go back and forth a couple times because I want you to be able to hear the difference. So, Michael, what did I miss in your bio and why do I have you on the show today?
I don't think you missed anything. After I went through those two programs for audio, I worked in a reality TV for a little bit. And I was a PA, assistant camera op, and I worked in the art department. And then decided in 2016 that I wanted to work for myself as opposed to someone else. So I started freelancing. I started a really small business where I provide recording and mixing and editing to mainly independent podcasters. But I have been lucky to do tape syncs for, you know, some pretty big radio and podcasts.
Number one, he's been using the headphones. And so we're going to have him switch over to the other microphone. So my editor is the one who's going to have to switch the files, lower the volume for one, and then throw that up. And that way you're going to be able to hear the difference. So that was his other microphone. And now he's talking about this thing called tape editing that he's been lucky to do for some certain people. And I've never heard of tape editing. I don't know the terminology. And so you might not either if you're listening. So Michael, now we'll be on your higher quality mic. What's tape editing? Why is it important?
So it's called tape syncs. And what happens is in radio, like let's say you're listening to NPR, if you have someone interviewing someone else, the host is going to be, you know, in the studio in Los Angeles. Whoever they're recording is probably not going to be in that studio. They're going to be someplace else. They might be at their residence, at their office, or wherever. So NPR would hire me to go to that other place. This is actually my tape sync setup that I'm using right now. So it's a Shure Beta 87A, and I have it plugged into a Sound Devices Mix Pre 6. So I would go to their place, I would set up either a microphone stand or a boom, and I would record that other end. And just like you're about to do with this episode, they would use those two separately recorded tracks and just edit it together in post, because it's going to be a lot better sounding than just, you know, doing something on Zoom.
Okay, so it sounds like it does two things, and in my opinion, how I'm trying to assess it. And one of the things is it might get rid of when I'm watching the news sometimes, and there's like a 3-second delay, and they're talking over each other when it's live. Somebody's talking, and then they stop talking, and then it seems like the other person hasn't even heard the question for a few seconds, and then finally they get the question, it comes into them, and they start talking, and then there's another delay, so it just kind of waits too long. And so it sounds like maybe what you're doing solves a little bit of that, and it sounds like the other thing that it will do is just make sure that you have a local recording that's going to be the highest of quality.
Absolutely. That's definitely it.
Okay, perfect. And so he's been using the nicer mic so far. We'll keep him using the nicer mic in the sound for a few more minutes, and then we'll switch it back to the other one so we can go back and forth. Audio engineering, what are a couple of key takeaways that you learned from going to school at UCSD as well as Citrus Community College, learning about audio engineering that you might not have even expected, Michael, before you went to school? Like, you knew that you wanted to be an audio engineer, but like, there was a couple of things that you learned. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that I was going to learn that. And that's valuable to me. Maybe we could help the listener learn the same thing. So with your nicer mic and nicer quality, tell us a little bit about what, you know, one or two kind of things that stood out to you were.
I think probably the biggest thing that's going to be most applicable to podcast makers is it's really nice to have good gear, maybe expensive gear, nice sounding gear, but the room that you record in is probably more important than that. And, you know, most people that are doing podcasting don't have rooms that are set up to record audio. You know, the dimensions of the room, it's going to be a box or it's going to be a square. So what I learned, what I didn't expect to learn, was the physics of sound. If you just learn the basics of how sound propagates, of how it interacts with, you know, surfaces, of how it reflects, if you learn that and then you make changes according to that, that's going to have a bigger impact on your recordings than spending $400 on a microphone. It really behooves everyone to just learn the basics.
Which is interesting, because before we started recording, I've actually got two mics set up, and one of them cost me like around $250 for the mic, and then for the arm, probably another $120. And the other mic, both using XLR cables, by the way, both can use either, but both are using XLR. And I'm actually going to switch my sound right now in 3, 2, 1. And now I'm on a different mic. A second ago, I was on the more expensive mic, and now I'm on a little bit less expensive mic. The only difference that I've seen is a little bit of a noise gate. Basically, when I'm really, really quiet on the less expensive mic, you can hear me. But when I'm really, really quiet on the more expensive mic, it blocks the sound. So those smaller sounds don't really come through so much. Only when you really get there, that noise gate can open up. You don't want to open up your nose, I'm pretty sure that's bad. So currently on the ATR 2100X, and now I'm switching currently over 3, 2, 1, and now I'm on the Shure M7V, the little baby of SM7, MV7. All right, Michael's been on the nicer mic. We're going to switch you back to the other sound to kind of go through that. And so here we go in 3, 2, 1. And I'm going to ask Michael a new question with your lower quality of the two mics. You mentioned already what's sound syncing or noise syncing. What was it called again?
Tape syncs.
tape syncing. You already mentioned tape syncing, and you already mentioned sharing like a little bit of what you learned that you didn't expect to learn, which was that your environment was at least as important as the microphone that you're using.
Correct.
Are there any exceptions to that rule, Michael?
Are there any exceptions? Well, I mean, sure. You know, there's always exceptions. I think anytime you're dealing with audio and you're asked a question, I think the one answer that you can always give that's going to be right no matter what is, it depends. You know, I mean, there are so many variables in these things. So, you know, there's definitely exceptions to that. If I buy a $20 Radio Shack microphone, is that going to be as good as a $8,000 Neumann? Of course not. You know, of course it's not. But if you're using a very high-end Neumann in a room with a ton of reflections, you know, it's also going to pick up those reflections. And if you want a really, really isolated sound, you're not going to get it, you know? So that's why oftentimes it kind of makes more sense to really focus on your environment first.
All right. So for the listener, we were just using his lower quality sound because we want to make sure that we're delivering good value to our listeners so they can kind of hear the difference. So I'm on my Shure M7V. And Michael was just using, I believe we said the lower quality, right? So let's go to the higher quality sound.
I think you got that switched. I think I was on the high, so I think I'm going to go back to the lower quality.
Okay, you were just on the high.
I think so.
We're going to confuse people. We're going to confuse the editor. So here's what we'll do. Regardless of what we were just doing 3 seconds ago.
Use the other one.
No. Don't just use the other one. I have to make sure I'm going to keep good track. I'm going to start making notes right here. So I'm going to say high quality for this next question, and then we'll go low right after that. So high quality for this next question. You mentioned that there's an $8,000 mic. You mentioned that there's a $20 mic. I personally have many mics. I have a $500 mic, a $250, $90-ish. And 20-ish. It's like $19 or $21. And they all have really good sound, in my opinion. Not specific about the Zoom, by the way. Not specific about using Zoom, but going through my Rodecaster Pro and hooking into here, I don't hear a giant difference between 20 to a 500. So you mentioned that there's a $20 Radio Shack you might want to stay away from and an $8,000, I don't remember the name of it, but that might be good. If we are a podcaster and let's say that we understand the room that we're in and we can optimize it first and foremost, then how do we know which mic to buy? Like, do you have a couple of recommendations? And again, he'll be answering on the higher quality. Regardless of what has happened in the past, and I forgot, he's going to be answering on the higher quality. So, Michael, what are a couple of microphone recommendations that come from you, an audio engineer?
So here's probably my first unpopular opinion. So I think your audio quality needs to be just good enough. Now, obviously, I like high quality, right? It's what I do for a living. I've worked pretty hard at getting the best quality that I can. But for most podcasters, it just has to be good enough. And I say that because I'm in these clubhouse rooms where people are recommending gear. And they're recommending gear that costs a lot of money. And for most podcasters, and most of the pod, well, I don't know about most, but a lot of the podcasters that I hear in these clubhouse rooms, they're just starting off. I could never recommend someone just starting off spend a lot of money.
Okay, what's kind of like the base? Would you say the base is a $20 mic, a $70 mic, or do you kind of got to get over 100 to be just enough?
100 would be great, but I've seen some for about 70. But I should say though too, Zoom is something that is just good enough. So if it's you and someone else, and you don't want to spend or you can't spend money, you know, a Zoom recording, a Squadcast recording, whatever, is going to be just good enough most of the time. I would say start off there, you know, and then if you really want to look into it or spend some money, then you can do that. And I mean, there are a ton of lists online for, you know, the best mics at whatever price point. Just look up four or five of those, go on Amazon, read the reviews, and you're going to be satisfied with pretty much whatever you get.
Well, I will mention that they don't even have to go that far because I do have a free resource.
Beautiful.
On our website. So there's a resource with a PDF. They literally just go to growyourshow.com/PDF. This is pretty simple. Growyourshow.com. You already know the website, but if you go to /PDF, it allows you to be able to download a PDF where we've done all the research. We've used all these different microphones that are on there, the different green screens, the different webcams, and there's like a sign on each one if they're optional or you need one of them. You definitely need a mic. I'm not willing to let you just record straight to your phone or straight to your computer. You definitely need some type of mic. And there it goes as low as $20 on there. We've used each and every one of them. But just if you're listening, there is a PDF automatically available for you. There's no charge for it. Michael, I was specifically, and he was replying with high quality. Now we're going to switch back to the lower quality mic for sure. I'm following along now. I'm not making another mistake. I'm not going to get lost in it. I might. But right now, I've got my foothold. So we're going to go to the low quality mic for the answer to this next question. He was just saying with a high quality mic, it just needs to be good enough. And so I want to dive a little bit deeper. And he mentioned that, you know, around $70 to $100 is kind of like a starting point for most people. But I want to know if you have one or two actual microphone recommendations that are in that budget, you know, $70, $80, $90, $100, $120, where you vetted it, you like it, and it's going to work for a new podcaster that wants decent quality.
So there's two that I'll recommend that I have experience with, and they're two different types of mics. Here's a big distinction between this. There are two types of mics that most podcasters use, a dynamic mic or a condenser mic. For most people, they're going to want to use a dynamic mic. And it's called dynamic because of the way it's designed. And dynamic mics are less sensitive. They record less information than condenser mics. So the mic that I'm using for this podcast, when we switch back and forth, it's actually a condenser mic. So it's not a dynamic mic. So it's going to pick up more. But depending on your show, that might be a good thing. I like condenser mics, but I know why people don't like them. They don't like them because if you're in a noisy environment or a environment that's not as controlled as others, it's going to pick up all of those things. For example, I have a window right here. This condenser mic might pick up birds chirping outside. It's that sensitive. It picks up that much information. If I had a dynamic mic here, that probably wouldn't be the case. So for your $100 dynamic mic, the Shure SM58 is tried and true. I have clients that use it on their show that I mix with, and I don't have a lot of problems. I've used it. It's a great microphone. It's one of those mics, like once you get that, you're probably not going to need anything else. Now for condenser mics, the ones that I use for tape syncs, like for right now, is again a Shure, and it's the Beta 87A. And that mic is $250. And I haven't had any complaints about it at all. It sounds really great on a wide variety of voices. The polar patterning is a little bit different than some mics, so it's got some rejection, and it's just a very solid mic. Now, one thing I would say too is just because the SM58 sounds good on my voice, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to sound good on your voice. And by good, I mean you're going to like it. Everyone's different, right? We all have subjective ears. So part of the thing to, you know, that makes everything more complicated is you kind of have to try different mics out to see what you like on your voice. So that's part of it too.
Love it. And that was on the low quality. And I think just for ease of my brain power, we're just going to move to the high quality microphone for the rest. Actually, here, we'll have you count down from 10 to 1 on the high quality, then the low, then we'll go back to the high. So let's just hear him say, you know, 10 to 1. And this is going to be like mic check for the high quality for a moment here. Here we go. Go ahead, Michael.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, now let's go back to the low quality for a second. Do the same thing, or actually just tell us what you had for breakfast on the low quality.
For breakfast, I had a mug full of bone broth that I made about a month ago. That was my breakfast.
So, okay, that was on the low quality. Now we'll finish up on the high quality and tell us what you're planning on having for lunch or for dinner.
Probably not going to eat for a really long time. Right after this, I have to finish mixing a podcast that's going to be Sirius Wants It by 2 my time, and it's not going to get to Sirius by 2. So Lord knows when I'm going to be able to eat.
Okay, got it. All right, so we're on high quality, and we will stay on the high quality. All right, a couple of things. Wow, interesting. Okay, so there's dynamic, there's condensers. And for me, I've got actually one condenser mic, which was like 60-ish bucks, and it works good. And my room is pretty treated. If you watch my YouTube, you can, I mean, I've got like all of my walls, everything, even up in the top of my corners and all the way to the bottom. All I have is egg carton, 2.5 inch thick egg carton foam on the walls. And it costs way more than you probably want to spend. If you're listening, like, you're going to want to be like really serious into this to spend that kind of money, but it probably cost me $2,000. It's insane. $2,000 in just foam on my walls. It was, and the corners of my ceilings and everything like that. But I did it for one reason. There's a reason why I did this to my room, because I have a shared office space. Like, I'm renting and leasing out an office space. I don't do this in my house, which it would be worse if I did at my house. My kids are pretty loud usually. So I got this office space, and there's a hallway, and the bathroom is right in the hall. And it helps a couple of things. When I was using my condenser mic, all you could hear was the echoes in my room before. And all you could hear was the people walking down. And all you could hear was the road, because I'm next to a window too. And the dynamic kind of makes it so the only thing you can really hear is like what's right next to the mic and nothing else.
Yeah.
And that allows it to be less echoey. But I still like that my walls are treated, because then they're not going to hear me as much. It'll muffle the sound before it goes out of my office and bothers somebody else, because I'm talking almost all day. I'm like in the middle of conversations with coaching clients and podcasting episodes all day, every day. And so there's that. And also, it's going to help muffle it before it gets to me. So it's going to help take away some of that sound before it gets to my mic. So I have done that. So my next question, okay, talking about condenser and dynamic, the dynamic helps it. So you got to be right up on it. If you want to hear it at all, you got to be right there, almost close to it. You could do this, like you could turn it way up and move it away from your mouth if you wanted to, but then it's not going to sound good. So I just do it like this. And so the condenser, a lot of podcasters, they think you should not have a condenser because of those extra sounds. And they say it's more for musicians, but there's a lot of voiceover artists that have both. They have the Shure SM7B, which is like a $500, $400 mic, plus you need other equipment to make it work. Sometimes a cloud lifter, and additionally some type of interface to even make it work. So you're looking at spending $1,000 or so if you want that mic. And then they'll either use that because it's the one Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on, and I think they just get a big kick out of that. Or they use a condenser mic because they say that it gets more, because they're a voiceover artist, it gets more of their tonality. It picks up more of the different types of sound. But I always see those same voiceover artists treating that mic with sometimes giant, I don't know if it's called a sound stopper, but I'm coming up with that name right now. I'm with Michael Castaneda, and he's like a sound stopper. Are you kidding me? It's called a...
It's just a pop shield, right? Just a big pop shield.
All right, perfect. A pop shield. So it doesn't sound quite as cool as what the name that I made up, but it's cool. Good try, Michael. Good try. All right. So you're still on your better mic. It's a condenser mic. And what do we need to do to our room? Like, you learned this in your audio engineering school, multiple. And like, I'm doing all of this random stuff. I'm like really sounding it out. And it cost me a couple $1,000. It's insane, like what foam costs these days. But Michael, what are you thinking that we should do? Because the room that I'm seeing you record in, I don't see those on your walls. And you're still using a condenser mic. So like, what exactly we need to do when we're a new podcaster and we want to have good enough sound quality and we want to treat the room before we spend $8,000 on a microphone or $400 on a microphone, for example, what do we need to do? What are the key points for a new podcaster to think about for the room that they're in?
So two things. So anytime someone talks about soundproofing a room, that term or that phrase is the wrong phrase to use. Because in order to soundproof a room, so take a recording studio, the tracking room of the recording studio. It's a room within a room. So when you have the bare room, they put these rubber pucks on the floor and then build another floor on top of that and then fill the walls, the gap in between the walls with material and then build another four sets of walls and a roof. So it's literally a room within a room. That's how they get the soundproofing. Someone in your home or in your office, you're not going to be able to soundproof that. So what you can do is you can treat it. I say all that because I want people to be clear on what it is that they're going for or how they talk about it. So the easiest ways to treat a room is to cut down any reflections or to cut down any outside noise coming in. I'm right by a window. If I wanted to treat this room, I would put like foam around the edges of the window to stop maybe lower frequencies from coming in. Let's say planes overhead or cars going by. My door, I would put rubber or foam or towels underneath the door, you know, like the gap in the door and the sides to try and stop outside noise from coming in. That's probably going to be the biggest and the only thing you can do to stop outside noise from coming in. Now, when it comes to handling or dealing with the reflections inside a room, you want a room that has carpet. If it doesn't have carpet, you want to put down a rug to stop the reflections, you know, bouncing off the floor and then coming back to the mic. You want to record in a room that, let's say, has a bookcase with a lot of books. Any absorptive material, beds, you know, mattresses absorb sound, bedding, anything that you can do like you did within your room. You have foam, you have this A crate, you have, you know, like whatever. You're basically doing the same thing. You don't want to record in a kitchen, right? A kitchen has nothing but reflective surfaces. You want to record in a bedroom. And then there's one more thing if you're doing like a solo show. Even though you do all that, you're still going to have problems with like standing waves or just, you know, the room's going to be a weird shape. If you're doing a solo show, you might actually want to face the corner of a room. Because when you do that and when you put the microphone in between you and the corner of a room, you're kind of cutting down on the size of the room a little bit. Because as you speak, it's going right to that corner of the room as opposed to bouncing around all around you. So that's kind of a quick cheat. I do that a lot of times when I do tape syncs, if I'm in a room where it's just too reflective. I'll put a chair, you know, maybe 2 feet away from the corner and have them face the corner and then I'll mic them from behind. And that kind of cuts down on the size of the room.
Makes a lot of sense. Very interesting. So I'm thinking about everything that you just said and I'm trying to come up with like the best next question for you. And you've got so much experience and education in a field where I'm frankly still learning and growing and going to the next place and learning from you, getting free coaching right here on this podcast. And you don't even know about it, Michael. I'm getting all this free coaching, and the listener is like, oh yeah, Adam does this. He gets free coaching a lot. But yeah, you have no idea, which is awesome. I just love that about the podcast. Let's move into something that you were passionate about. We were speaking before we even started recording, and you started mentioning something that you can do that other people don't automatically do. And I said, we might argue about this. And it was about, you wanted people that are thinking about launching a podcast to go ahead and just get it done, get it launched. What did you mean by that? And kind of what might be the best system or process for somebody who's thinking about it now and they want to be able to be launched within a few weeks?
So I think why we might have a difference of opinion on this is because I feel like maybe you work with a lot of businesses and you do a lot of business podcasts. So maybe if you have a business and you're counting on this to be, you know, a supplement to that business, maybe even, you know, like generate revenue for your business, maybe jumping into that isn't the smartest thing for a lot of reasons that I'm not even aware of. Like, I'm completely ignorant to launching a podcast for a business. So I wouldn't say that. But I think for most podcasters that are just doing a independent podcast on, you know, current events or, you know, mental health or sports or whatever, for those people, I would say, jump in, be ready to make mistakes, be okay with making mistakes, but don't wait. Oftentimes, you know, we think that we have to have everything nailed down, you know, every aspect of it, we have to know and we have to have an answer for. But you haven't done this before. Like, you've never done this. If you've never flown a plane, you can read about flying planes. You can watch videos on flying planes. You can play Microsoft Flight Simulator. And you're going to think that you know how to fly a plane. But until you actually sit behind the steering wheel or the steering column and fly that plane, it's going to be completely different. So why would you think that you're going to have everything down? Make mistakes. Learn from those mistakes. If your podcast changes, if your idea changes from 3 episodes to 5 episodes, let it change. Everyone's way too worried about everything has to be perfect. And I've just found from my experiences that none of that really matters, you know, because you're wasting all of that time getting good at it too. And that's a huge part.
So, okay. Number one, I enjoyed the qualifier. I enjoyed the qualifier because a lot of the people that I work with, they want to monetize the show. And right. My feeling and what I've seen in practice is that if you spend some time going ready, aim, fire, like spend some extra time really identifying the perfect listener, what they're worried about, how you can solve those problems, how you can be the best at solving those problems, when you can look at making sure that your branding is on point. For example, we go a little bit extra overboard on thinking about color psychology, shape psychology, different shapes that you might use in the logo, in the look and feel of the branding, and fonts as well. Like some ages, younger ages, even there's different fonts for different cultures, different races, different genders in many cases, which we want to really think of what fonts are going to attract my person. Is it going to be this one that attracts a lot of, what's the word for it, millennials? Is it going to be this one that's Gen Z? Is it going to be this one that's getting all the baby boomers? Like, who's your avatar? Who are you trying to get in front of? What colors do they like? What colors are they attracted to? What shapes are going to make them want to get in there? So we try to dive pretty deep. And I think you're right, Michael, if you are just wanting to have a podcast to kind of just get your thoughts out of yourself, then it won't really matter to go into that depth. But if you are, if you're thinking, how am I going to monetize? How am I going to get a sponsor to pay me? How am I going to have my own coaching clients coming from this podcast? How am I going to sell consulting for my attorney practice, you know, my law firm? How am I going to, all these other examples, what am I going to need to do to do that? You should think about, begin with the end in mind, like Stephen Covey thinks of, like identify what's going to happen and then make it so. Like, for example, cuss words. If depending on who you want as your sponsor, you might not want to cuss at all, right? Or you might want to cuss more. You might want to keep that adult language, that explicit language in the show in order to attract the right person or to repel the wrong person. So it's really, you've really got to focus on those things if you're doing it for finances. So I'm just really glad that you spent the time going through that, because I was like, on my side, you always have to do it right. Right. But I get that. I understand that. And,
but you know, like I would say, even if you, like, I'm not advocating that you rush into it. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying just, you know, make decisions blindly. But even if you do, you know, make a lot of, let's say, bad choices and things don't work out, you can still turn it around. I mean, like, I've worked on shows that started out one way and ended up doing something completely different, and then they got what they wanted. But I'm advocating, I think, most for that. A lot of people wait to get all of this stuff in order and they waste time. You know, the experience that you get doing what we're doing right now cannot be replicated. So I would rather them get that experience and get better. And then when they do shift, or maybe they just can that and then start a new one with all of that knowledge, you know, and start off better, then, you know, that's just going to be better for everyone.
Awesome. Let's jump in here. Let's finalize today's episode with, finish with a bit of a bang. What other advice do you have for a podcaster, regardless if it has anything to do with audio engineering or just starting? What other advice do you have for a brand new podcaster? Like, there is a lot of people that are listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, man, I'm not sure how to do this. I don't have this. What are the next steps? What advice would you have for that person?
The biggest thing is getting over that fear of first doing it, right? I mean, that holds so many people back. I hear so many people like, oh, you know, for 2 years, I've thought about doing a podcast. 2 years you've thought about doing it and haven't done it yet. I mean, the second you do it, most people are going to be like, oh, that's it? Like, why did I wait so long? You know, so that's number one. The second thing is, don't be afraid to experiment. You know, I talked about using two microphones and they were both Shure's. Shure isn't the only manufacturer of microphones. There are hundreds. Find some brand and try a different brand. People talk about, how long should my intro be? You know, my intro music. I don't know. Try it one episode, 30 seconds. Try it another episode, 5 seconds. Don't be scared to experiment on your show and, you know, do different things. If you look at, obviously, ask people and get a consensus. And, you know, like, some ideas that you might have might just be bad ideas. I'm not saying put out any bad ideas. But, you know, if you follow everyone else's template, then all these shows are going to sound the same. And, you know, I'm like the kind of listener that I know pretty quick into a show if I want to keep listening. You know, I'm very picky, but, like, I also edit a lot. So when I do have time to listen to a show, I know exactly what I want. And, you know, yeah, I just, don't be afraid to experiment.
There's three brands that I have heard a lot of good things about and like myself. And that is, you mentioned there's a lot of other brands. Shure is one of my favorites. Audio Technica seems to put out an awesome product as well. And then Rode, R-O-D-E, seems to put out really good product. They've got the Rode PodMic and they've got the Rode Podcaster or something. I don't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, I think those three brands are kind of tried and true. And you can get a mic that's great and affordable, like under $300. You can get lots of different mics from those three brands, anywhere from the 60-ish to the 100-ish to the 300-ish. But anyway, I'll throw that out. Oh, crud. Michael, I had another question for you. And it started with how. I started typing in how, and then you ended trying to remember how. Oh, yeah. How can you help the listener? That's what I was going to say, because I know you do post-production. I know that you have audio engineering background. And the listener of this show either recently started a podcast within the last 2 years, and so they're just kind of still getting their feet wet. They're still trying to, you know, improve, go to the next level, because they haven't done it more than a couple of years. Or they're about to start a podcast and they're trying to learn from the best of the best on how do I make sure I don't make any mistakes. So how can you help the listener? Like if they reach out to you and find you, what can you do for the listener?
Definitely reach out to me. Instagram, Twitter, at Plastic Audio is my handles. Clubhouse is another great way to find me. It's where I found you. Clubhouse is fantastic. Again, you know, like I've made a ton of bad mistakes and I continue to make bad mistakes just because, you know, like I work a lot. So it's only natural that I make bad mistakes. What I want to try and do is help people learn from those mistakes. So, you know, if you have any questions at all, please reach out to me about recording or about mixing or editing. Like those are pretty much the three things that I focus on in podcasting. I mean, you do everything from, you know, soup to nuts. Like I'm very specialized in that. I only do a couple parts of it. So if you have questions about recording or mixing or editing, please reach out and, you know, I'll do everything I can so that you don't make the same mistakes that I made.
That's Michael Castaneda on the podcast, the audio engineer from California with the hippie long hair. I don't know. They're like, I don't get to see his hair. But anyways, you should connect with him, either find him on Clubhouse or we've got some other links in the show notes. You can literally just scroll down right now as you're listening, click on that and connect with Michael there as well. Michael, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to let you go, my friend. Until next time. Launch your podcast, grow your podcast, and for the love of you know what, make sure that you frickin' inspire other people and make money on your podcast. I'm here to help. Go to growyourshow.com, and I look forward to serving you. Bye for now. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.